Everybody on the school?
We do with alternates.
Okay, wonderful, Christina, thank you. So I'm going to call the OCWD Administration Finance Issue Committee meeting to order. Today is Thursday, January 12th, and it's 8 o'clock. Roll call, please.
Roll call, Director Yeo.
Present.
Director Nguyen. Director Rowe.
Here.
Director Whitaker.
Here.
Director Bilodeau.
Present.
Director Sheldon. Director Tran. Director Green. Director Amezcua.
Present.
Director Meeks. You do have a quorum.
Thank you. Are there any items received too late to be agendized, Mr. General Manager?
There are none.
Okay, and any visitors' participation at this point related to items on the agenda or matters of under this board's jurisdiction? Okay, hearing and seeing none. So let's go to our consent calendar, which consists of items 1 through 5. Does any directors have any questions? If not, I will entertain a motion.
I move approval.
I'll second.
Thank you. We have a motion from Director Whitaker and seconded by Director Rowe. Roll call.
Roll call, Director Yeo.
Yes.
Director Rowe.
Yes.
Director Whitaker.
Aye.
Director Bilodeau.
Aye.
And Director Tran. Director Tran? Okay. Director Amezcua?
Yes.
Okay. That motion carries with 5 yes votes.
Thank you. I think we need to run a high-speed line to Director Tran's house. okay. Next up, we got matters for consideration. Item number 6, basin production percentage and replenishment assessment estimates for fiscal year 2023 through 24. Mike?
Yes, and I think that I got it wrong yesterday, so I'm going to try to get it right today. I think John Kennedy and Randy Fick are going to give this presentation.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. That is correct. Excuse me. Randy and I are going to tag team this. So good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Let me get the presentation up here. Okay, so we're going to talk about next year's basin production percentage and the replenishment assessment. So the fiscal year 23-24 BPP and RA, it must be established in April per the District Act. And we have scheduled a public hearing, or we'll schedule it for April 19th. And that's when the board can consider staff's recommendations. The groundwater producers right now are starting to prepare their budgets for next year. So they always ask OCWD in January to give a preliminary RA and BPP estimate to help them with their budget preparation. So just looking at big picture issues for setting next year's budget. We want to continue accumulating funds to pay for the PFAS treatment systems, the capital, and then also our 50% share of the annual O&M cost. As we've been talking about, as the board is well aware, groundwater pumping will continue to be less than normal due to PFAS. And I mean, basically a temporary issue until we get these treatment systems all constructed. We want to maintain, the board has a policy to maintain a AAA credit rating. So we'll be preparing a budget that does that. We have the groundwater replenishment system final expansion will be fully online. So we'll be making additional water and putting that water into the groundwater basin. And then what comes with that is we're going to have additional chemical and electricity expenses that we have to budget for. So I'm going to start talking about the basin production percentage. and then I'll hand it off to Randy to talk about their replenishment assessment. So with respect to the BPP, wanted to show you a historical graph of where the basin production percentage has been. And you can see it's been relatively stable. We've had slight increases over the years. I just did a quick check, and assuming we don't lower the BPP next year, and that's a really good assumption, I think, that we won't lower it, we will have gone 14 straight years with either increasing it or maintaining it. So we will have gone 14 straight years without lowering the BPP, and we'll set a new record here at Orange County Water District. So that's good news. In setting the BPP, we always want to look at where the groundwater basin accumulated overdraft is. And I showed you this slide yesterday at Water Issues Committee. We are looking to refill the groundwater basin a good bit this fiscal year that we're in right now. You know, just assuming average hydrology for this fiscal year, and we're well above average right now, at least, we'll refill the groundwater basin by about 40 to 50,000 acre feet of water. And that would leave the accumulated overdraft around 210,000 acre feet at the end of this fiscal year. So some issues in setting the BPP, currently at 77%. As I just showed, the groundwater basin is in relatively good condition. Imported water supplies are in poor condition. Now, the state water project supplies are definitely going to be a little bit better than they have been in the past two or three years because of all the precipitation in Northern California. But on the Colorado River, there's still a really bad long-term trend of declining water supplies there, and something we're following closely. As I mentioned, groundwater replenishment system production will increase from 103,000 acre feet to 134,000 acre feet. And then we also, we're going to have 5 to 7 producers who won't be able to pump up to the BPP due to PFAS issues. Other things to keep in mind and to consider, total water demands are generally declining. And that's, you know, generally good news. People are becoming more efficient in their water use. At this point, staff is thinking we will recommend for next year to set the BPP at 85%, you know, go from 77 to 85% next fiscal year. And we've estimated, we think that'll give us basin pumping in the area of about 280,000 acre feet. And then with that amount of pumping, we would expect to reduce the accumulated overdraft by about 40,000 acre feet with average hydrology. And I'll show you how that calculation is done. And this is the table that you're familiar with where we show water into the groundwater basin and then total pumping. So you see some of these amounts you're getting pretty familiar with the amount of base flow we expect to recharge into the groundwater basin, storm flows and incidental recharge based on average hydrology, groundwater replenishment system up to 134,000 acre feet. Now, right now we're recommending to not buy any Met water. In this year's budget, we have 5,000 acre feet. For next year's budget, we're saying we don't need to buy any Met water. We can take that expense out of the budget and give us a little bit of RA relief. Total amount of water into the groundwater basin next year would be 320,000 acre feet, and then pumping of 280,000. So again, we're gaining 40,000 acre feet, or we're reducing the overdraft by 40,000 acre feet. So graphically looking at that, here's the accumulated overdraft, and here's our projection for the current fiscal year. June 30, we're predicting the overdraft will go down to 210,000 acre feet. And then if we have an average year next year, we would reduce the accumulated overdraft to 170,000 acre feet. If we had a wet year, it'd be 120,000 acre feet. And then the good part about this potential budget is if we had a dry year, we would only overdraft the basin by about 10,000 acre feet to where the overdraft would be 220,000 acre feet. So, you know, I mentioned the groundwater basin is in good shape. It could be in great shape at the end of fiscal year 23-24, the way things are looking. So I'm going to turn the presentation over to Randy. Here you go, Randy.
Thanks, John. So staff is currently preparing the fiscal 23-24 draft budget. Managers are now preparing all their costs for all the 21 departments. Michael sit down with those departments and review their budget, and then we'll prepare a budget book and review the budget, the draft budget on March 1st with the board. We also have a full year of GRS final expansion expenses, largely chemicals and electricity. This will be for the additional 31,000 acre feet that the final expansion will produce. We also have PFAS funding for capital. Currently, the capital costs are about $280 million. We're projecting for the treatment facilities, and then O&M costs for the producers' O&M, up to 50% of their costs, with a cap of about currently about $78 an acre foot. And then maintain AAA credit rating metrics per board policy. Next slide, John. So some of the drivers in the increase in the RA, the proposed increase from currently $558 an acre foot to the estimate of $624 an acre foot for 23-24. That's a $66 increase in the RA, or about 12%. And some of the drivers are continuing to generate cash or funding to assist in the funding of the PFAS projects. The capital projects. Currently in this budget, we have $35 million, and we're proposing to increase that to just under $40 million. So as I mentioned, the total expenditures planned with the 59 wells needing treatment is currently estimated about $280 million. To date, we've spent about $120 million. So we have about an additional $160 million that we need to get funding for. And then we have an inflation factor estimated right now at 8% increase to the general fund. Of course, that'll be narrowed down once we review the 21 cost centers and go through each department budget to come up with what that actual increase will be. But for right now, it's just a placeholder, assumed 8% increase. Then we have $5 million in the budget for paying up to 50% of the producer's O&M. In the current budget, it's $4 million. So we're estimating that that'll increase next year as more producers' media needs to be replaced within their treatment systems. And then increasing the R&R fund contribution. This increase largely due to the additional equipment and membranes that the final expansion will be adding or has added. And then electricity and chemicals for operating the final expansion for a full year. Of course, it's a partial year this year in the budget, but next year we'll have the full year of the final expansion operating and hopefully producing 31,000 acre feet of additional water. And then also driving the increase is the reduction in the groundwater pumping compared to the fiscal 22-23 budget. The current budget is estimated pumping for this year is 295,000 acre feet. Of course, we're going to fall short of that, unfortunately. We're estimating that it's probably going to be around 265,000 acre feet of pumping this year. But for next year, we're budgeting about 280,000 acre feet of pumping as more treatment systems come online. But that reduction is going to cause an increase to the RA because we have to spread our costs over less pumping, less acre feet pumped. So that's driving some of the increase. Next slide. So our recommendation is to provide the fiscal 23-24 RA estimate, of $624 an acre foot, and the basin pumping production percentage of 85%. estimated to the groundwater producers to help them budget, along with any additional board comments. And that concludes our presentation.
Okay, thank you, Randy and John. Okay, are there any questions or comments from the committee?
Now, this is Dennis. I have a question.
Yes, please proceed.
I know this was on a previous slide, but how much are we going to spend on purchasing replenishment water? What's the projected spend?
Well, for next fiscal year, it would be zero, Director Bellideau. We would not budget any water for next fiscal year since conditions are looking so good.
Okay. I said. That's why I think I missed that part.
Okay.
So how much do we have in the water replenishment fund currently banked? Do you know offhand, John?
Randy probably has a better estimate there.
Yeah, I believe it's around 15 million.
Okay. So will that increase or it'll be static next year?
Static.
Okay. Those are my questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Bellideau. Mr. Marcus.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to let the committee know that we did kind of give the producers a sneak preview yesterday regarding this presentation that's being given this morning by John and Randy. And they were fully supportive of what we're recommending to the committee and to the board of the 85% BPP and $624 RA. So I just wanted to add that into the report.
And Mike, which 5 to 7 producers that are potentially not able to pump to 85%?
Let's see, it would probably be Anaheim. Anaheim for sure. John, you're going to have to help me out. I would say, I guess, Garden Grove, Tustin, Orange.
Yeah, Golden State. Those for sure. And then we mentioned how we just received new testing orders, a fourth testing order from the state to test another 39 wells. So you have to expect we're going to find a few more wells with PFAS that will be shut down that might stop another one or two producers from pumping up to the BPP.
Okay, thank you. Director Swan.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. Hey, morning. Randy, a question to you. Have you paid off all the money that we borrowed on short term? Has that all been, the 40 million, has that all been paid off?
Not yet. I think we have about 10 to 12 million left on that water purchase.
And what is the interest rate on that?
Right now it's about 4%.
So I'm looking at your investment report. Why wouldn't you just pay that off against, you've got $342 million? You've got a bunch of stuff coming due that is less than 1%. Why wouldn't we, if we're paying 4% on that, why wouldn't you just pay it off? Borrow it from yourself.
One, we need our liquidity. Some of those bonds are not currently callable. So they're, those lower bonds, we can't get the cash right now because they're not due yet. The other thing, we need our liquidity for these PFAS projects. It has spiked the interest rate. That was pretty recent that it did that. But we are paying it down. We just paid $6 million down in January.
But you've got a 3% negative spread on negative arbitrage on that. So it's costing the district quite a bit of money. Thank you.
It is costing us, yes.
Well, thank you, Mr. Swan. Mr. Schoenberger.
Hi, thank you, Chair. Paul Schoenberger with Mesa Water District. And yeah, your staff did a great heads up to all the producers yesterday. Everyone who spoke was in support of especially raising the VPP. That helps everybody out and the RA increase. Raising the BPP is fantastic. It makes Orange County Water District, you know, that much more important to us, which is great because, you know, your water is very reliable and the lowest cost water that we can get a hold of. So, you know, the RA going up the $66 is a 12% increase. But if you look at your total water cost, because that cheap, you know, $600 water is going to be replacing some expensive $1,200 for Met, you know, for most producers who are able to go to the 85%, their total water cost is not going up 12%. It's only going up 3%. So, you know, this is actually fairly easy on the budget and we get to pump more groundwater. So, we're very happy at Mesa Water and, would support this.
Well, thank you, Paul. If everyone only understands the way that you understand it, will be easy. yeah, you know, I was thinking about what Pierce said, and Andy, you responded that some of our bonds are not callable right now, and we need liquidity for those PFAS projects. So instead of paying it down, if we have to finance, we have to seek finance for some funds to pay for the PFAS projects. What kind of interest rate are we talking about right now?
I haven't looked into it. The rates have escalated quite a bit, but I just haven't looked into it yet. I can come back and let you know what those rates might be if we had to issue debt.
Yeah, if we have to issue debt and actually pay down the higher interest bonds, but well, they're not callable. but when they do, I know we're in good hands with you watching over. You know, if there is a advantage to do something with paying down those high interest bonds, you would recommend that, right?
I think so far. So far, Mr. Chairman, we've been fortunate in the committee may recall, we were able to get a WIFIA loan on the PFAS projects to help keep the interest rates down. As John mentioned, there may be a few more projects that if they test out this first quarter and exceed the RL, may require additional treatment. And I think the issue there is it may be difficult unless the board chose to wait and apply for an SRF or a WIFIA loan to finance those projects. But that takes a certain amount of time. If we had to do it on the short term, then we would have to go to the market and enable to finance those, but we'll certainly take into consideration what Director Swan said, and you know, we do have time to kind of work on the budget a little bit. This is just kind of the first time that we're throwing out numbers, and you know, we do have a couple months to work on it. So we'll certainly take all those comments into consideration.
Thank you, Mike, for the assurance. Okay, any other questions or comments? All right, seeing none, and we have a recommendation here to agendize for January 18th board meeting, provide the fiscal year 2023-24 replenishment assessment.
I'll make a motion to that effect.
Thank you, Director Bilodeau.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, and seconded by Director Whitaker. Roll call, please. Okay.
Roll call, Director Yeo.
Yes.
Director Rowe. Director Rowe. Okay. Director Whitaker.
Aye.
Director Bilodeau.
Yes.
Director Sheldon. Director Sheldon. Director Tran.
Aye.
Director Green.
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries with 5 yes votes.
Okay, thank you everyone for the good discussion. Let's go to item 7, district participation at Singapore International Water Week 2023 conference and technical exchange with Singapore PUB. Mike.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Jason Dadakis will be presenting this item this morning.
Thanks, Mike. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I wanted to bring this issue to the committee to discuss the district's potential participation at Singapore International Water Week this summer, as well as a technical exchange with the Singapore Public Utilities Board. Just for a little context, this flows from an updated memorandum of understanding between the district and Singapore PUB that was adopted by this board and PUB this past August. That MOU essentially superseded and built upon an MOU originally adopted in 2011 between the two agencies. And this new 2022 MOU calls out three real areas of potential collaboration between our two agencies, working together on training programs for staff, participating and collaborating during Singapore International Water Week, and also conducting joint technology assessments of mutual interest. And one thing we'll talk about is one key feature of the MOU is that each agency is responsible for its own costs of participating in MOU-covered activities. Just a little background on PUB. I know we have some new members of the committee, new members of the board. Singapore PUB is the Public Utilities Board of Singapore. They're essentially the country of Singapore's sort of national water agency. They cover water supply, their water catchments, or sort of reservoir system, as they call them. And then their system, how they manage their used water, which is the term they use to refer to, you know, their wastewater and recycled water. Water security is very important to Singapore, being an island nation. So they've really tried to diversify their water supply portfolio. As you can see at the bottom here, it's comprised of the local runoff and water they can catch on the island, as well as new water. That's the term they use for their recycled water there that is produced in a manner analogous to how we operate the groundwater replenishment system. They also have imported water there, kind of similar to us. The real difference there is their imported water comes from another country. They're dependent on a contractual relationship with the country of Malaysia to the north for their imported water supply. And so that presents some unique water security challenges for them that they've tried to mitigate through this diversification. And as a part of that, they've also made investments in ocean desalination. The district relationship with PUB really began in the 1990s. PUB reached out to the district when they were developing their new water, recycled water program. They came over here and toured the Water Factory 21 facility, which many of you know is the predecessor to the groundwater replenishment system. They looked at our research center here and R&D department and essentially went back and set up something very similar in the late 90s. And once they seized on the idea of developing a recycled water project for potable reuse and for industrial use, they moved very quickly. They set up a demonstration facility in 2000 and then actually bought their first full-scale facility online in 2003. And a key feature of that facility, it uses essentially the same technology for treatment that we use for GWS. And so that leads to some real similar interests and a real nexus for cooperation between the two agencies. I would say those ties were deepened in 2014 when the district had the great honor of winning the 2014 Lee Kuan Yew Prize. This is a water prize given out by the government of Singapore every 2 years. The district was the first sort of agency to win this award, I believe the only one. Typically these go to technology developers or academics. So this was a real honor for the district to receive this prize. That was also accompanied by a 300,000 Sing dollar award, which at that time translated about 240,000 US dollars. And you can see this, we actually display this award out in the hallway here at our headquarters. So on the basis of this newly updated MOU from last year, PUB staff have approached district staff about scheduling a technical exchange visit this summer in June, centered around Singapore International Water Week, which is a conference. They suggested that representatives in the district attend and give a presentation at the SIWW Spotlight Conference, followed by a few days of meeting with PUB staff and touring some relevant facilities that they have there. I've listed a few examples that have been suggested by PUB. It would include their Changi water reclamation plant, and there's also a new water production facility there. They have a floating solar farm that they've suggested we might have some interest in seeing, as well as one of their desalination facilities. And then a couple of research centers they support that are very focused on water treatment and even more specifically on membrane treatment. And then also their own kind of internal R&D facility they have in Tuas on the western side of the island of Singapore. So there's precedent for this. We have, you know, district representatives have visited PUB in Singapore in the past. Certainly in 2014, when the district received the Lee Kuan Yew Prize, Director President Green attended Singapore International Water Week and accepted the prize on behalf of the district and gave the official Lee Kuan Yew Prize lecture. Our general manager also attended the conference at that time and gave an invited lecture at the National University of Singapore. And then as a part of the real technical staff exchange under the prior MOU, the district's director of water production, responsible for overseeing GWS, Bill Donovan, who many of you recall, who retired a few years ago from the district, he attended the conference and was essentially embedded with PUB staff for about a week as part of this formal technical exchange of information. In 2016, 2 years later, I personally had the great honor of going to Singapore under this technical exchange MOU, gave a presentation at the Singapore International Water Week, and then was embedded with PUB staff for about a week. Real highlight of my professional career, really eye-opening to see some of the things they're doing there, how they manage water, how they operate their treatment facilities, their embrace and use of technology. And it's really laid, I think, for me and also for the district, a real real foundation for some of the ongoing relationships we have with there, especially on the R&D side of both our organizations. That visit really helped us understand, you know, what PUB is interested in and has led to collaborations between the district and PUB. And on the flip side of this, you know, over the past decade, we have here at OCWD received PUB staff, usually groups of one or two staff, for them to come visit us for 1 to 2 weeks at a time to see our operations, understand how we operate, tour other facilities such as those operated by MET. So we have in kind posted PUB staff here under the MOU. So just some of the benefits of in-person visits to Singapore PUB is staff sees them. First of all, Singapore International Water Week is a real premier international water conference event attended by, you know, by water leaders from around the globe, as well as firms involved in the water management and water treatment businesses. It's a real who's who of the water industry, and a lot of information exchanged. Relationships can be developed there. It's a very highly regarded conference. And I think it's also fair to say that Singapore PUB, the agency, is really acknowledged as a world leader in water management and treatment technology. over the last 20 years, they've invested significant resources in their water sector, nearly $600 million. Like us, they've been an early adopter of membrane treatment technologies in recycled water, but even pushed those across to their drinking water treatment and even their wastewater treatment. And in more recent years, they've been real early adopter of some smart kind of artificial intelligence technologies to help them manage their water system better. And I think they're acknowledged as a real leader in that space. And so we do think, in-person visits can support more meaningful collaboration between the two agencies, which is, again, really envisioned by the MOU that was adopted. From my firsthand experience, I can say I gained a real much deeper understanding of PUB's operations and their R&D efforts by being there and talking to the people there directly and seeing what they were doing, and really developed that those professional relationships, which continue to serve our cooperation and collaboration. Just want to give a couple areas of specific interest we have that we want to focus on perhaps during a potential visit. One is the ROTEC flow reverse osmosis process. This is a treatment process that I think has been highlighted to the board of the last year or so by Megan Plumley, our director of research, because we're pilot testing this technology right now. That photo on the right is the picture of a pilot unit that's set up in the GWS RO building. And our interest in this technology is really spurred by PUB's adoption of it. A few years ago, PUB went ahead and installed this technology, which essentially allows you to recover more water through the reverse osmosis process, make it more efficient through sort of a clever adaptation to conventional reverse osmosis technology. The photo on the lower left is the installation at Singapore PUB. And so it's really through our discussions with them about their piloting and their installation of it and their initial operations of it that gave us some confidence this was actually viable at a large scale. And so we're in the middle of our own assessment right now, but it's really been helped by PUB's experience. And PUB is continuing to deploy this technology at their future new water facilities. And then just more broadly, we think there's something to be gained but in learning about just generally, what kind of operational efficiencies PUB has at their new water facilities for membrane treatment. As was alluded to in the last presentation on next year's budget, power and chemical costs as we expand GWS and we've seen, supply chain issues and inflation, power and chemical costs represent a significant portion of the district's operating budget. And so anything we can learn, any improvements we can make, to be more efficient in our usage of those, at the margin can really stand to benefit the district and our stakeholders. And there are very few agencies operating on a scale comparable to what we have here at GWS. I think I would argue that PUB is probably the only one in the world doing something akin to what we're doing at the scale we're doing it. And so we think there's an opportunity there to learn from how they're optimizing their facilities. And finally, just another kind of interesting thing. This is one of the highlights of my trip there a few years ago. They've actually moved towards sort of automation in some of their laboratory testing. This is a little image of a robot they call LabMan that has basically taken some fairly basic chemistry tests and analytical tests and seeks to automate them by kind of lining up your samples on this little conveyor system and then distributing it through various tests. And this is something that Singapore has invested in as their sample load has increased at their lab to help them cope with that. And so I think we'd be interested in learning more about how their implementation has gone and to see if, this is something as our own laboratory's sample load increases, is this something that we would want to consider looking into based on their experience? So now kind of shifting to costs of this, again, under the MOU, we'd be responsible for our costs for going over to Singapore and participating in the exchange and SIWW. Staff's recommendation is to cover the costs of two representatives. Our current estimate of that for the timeframe that PUB has presented us is, I think, about $6,000 US, given the airfare and lodging requirements. One thing PUB has told us is that our attendance at SIWW would be, at the conference, would be complimentary. So with that, staff recommendation is to authorize two representatives in the district to participate in Singapore International Water Week, as well as technical exchange activities with Singapore PUB at district expense in June of this year. And so that concludes my presentation, and staff is happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Jason. Director Green.
Yes, I'm assuming that the two representatives would be staff members, as you know. I know when I went, I had a role, but it seems like this would just be more for staff, correct?
I think we've left that open, Director Green, but that would be up to the committee and the board. It is a more technical. Singapore International Water Week, this is not the full-blown Water Week. They do that biennially. This is an off year for that, but they hold a mini SIWW. It's called Spotlight. And so that's a two-day event. And I think there's three additional days that are reserved for the technical sessions with the two representatives that we're recommending to be sent.
Okay. I think based on that, we probably should say two staff, district staff representatives, because it is so technical. I know when I was there were areas that of participation I was to fulfill, but this is nothing like that, so.
Yes, you were very fortunate to have met the Prime Minister of Singapore, eh?
I was. It will be an experience I will never forget.
Yeah, I was going to go there last year on my own dime, since I was going to be in Japan. Everything all reserved, but Japan did not open up, so I had to cancel the plan.
Oh,
I plan to go there sometime. On my own dime. Thank you, Director Green. Director Bilodeau, did you have a question?
No, I think Kathy answered my question. So we're contemplating it'd be two staff members. I know that given the fact that it's not the full-blown conference, I'm certainly not interested in going. But we do have a separate policy that covers the directors in the event they'd want to go. So. I have no problem with this request.
Okay, thank you for your input. And
am I a voting member? Can I just move?
Director Green, it depends on if Directors Sheldon and Van are ahead of you, but I'm not sure if they're having audio issues or if they're still on the meeting.
Okay.
I can move approval. I'll do that.
And I'll second Director Whitaker's motion.
That it will be two district staff representatives okay.
Yes.
Correct. Thank you for the clarification. Roll call, please.
Roll call, Director Yeo.
Yes.
Director Rowe.
Yes.
Director Whitaker.
Aye.
Director Bilodeau.
Yes.
Director Sheldon. Director Tran.
Yes.
That motion carries with five yes votes.
Thank you. Let's go to the last item, which is the monthly cash disbursements report.
And I think this information is contained within the packet, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Marcus. So we'll receive and file. And so let's put items 1 through 8. The January 18th board meetings consent calendar, please.
We will do that.
Thank you. Okay, any director's announcements or reports?
No.
No, general manager?
Nothing to report.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate everyone's attendance and participation. The meeting is adjourned. Have a great day.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.